I want to focus this morning on a phrase that is found at the end of verse 24. And at the end of verse 24, the Apostle Paul wrote this, or this is what the Lord Jesus himself said when he was speaking about the bread and the wine. Do this in remembrance of me. In a few minutes, we will partake of some bread and we will drink from a cup. And we do this often, as you know, once a month in the morning service, once a month in the afternoon service, we partake in this way. Why are we doing it? What is it that we are doing? And I've often said this from this pulpit, we should never do these things without having a very clear idea of what we are doing. There are such things as rituals that people do, religious rituals. And religious rituals are simply rules and habits and traditions that people follow. There will be, sadly today, people who will go to a church of some kind and they will do all kinds of things without really understanding what they're doing. It's simply tradition. If you say to them, why do you do this? Why do you do that? Well, we've always done it. It is tradition. Our church tradition always does this and so we do it. We should never be like that, friends. Don't ever hold a position. Don't ever do something simply because it's tradition, simply it's because this is what you've always been taught. It is beholden upon us to examine everything, every view that we hold, every position that we hold, every doctrine that we believe. We must examine it in the light of Scripture. We must take it to the Bible and we must show ourselves that this is indeed what the Bible teaches. And if there are things that we've been taught, right from childhood perhaps, things that we've been taught, and we find that actually that is not what the Bible teaches, we don't say, well, we've always been taught this. My parents taught me this. My church taught me this. And so I believe it. That can't be a Christian position. We go to the Scriptures, and the Scriptures alone tell us the truth, and we believe what the Scriptures tell us. So this morning we're about to come round the Lord's table. We need to have a clear understanding of what we are doing. And Jesus, when he commanded us to meet around the Lord's table, he gave us this instruction, do this in remembrance of me. Today for us is Remembrance Sunday at two levels. Of course, we remember those who gave their lives for us in world wars and in other wars, and we give thanks to God for them. But we especially this morning remember the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Well, what are we remembering? I want to explain three things this morning that we are remembering as we come round the Lord's table. Please have in your mind three things that we are remembering this morning. In the first place, we are remembering the grace of God. We are remembering the grace of God. We are here this morning because God has been gracious. God has been kind. God has been merciful. God has been compassionate. God has loved us. And God has shown us grace. You know what grace means? Grace means we deserve judgment. We deserve condemnation. We all know this to be the reality. We're all sinners. We were all born in sin. We were born guilty of sin. We were born with a desire for sin. Our hearts had a bias towards sin. Sin is something we did naturally. Sin is something we loved doing. And we hated God. And we hated His Word. And we hated righteousness. We may not have expressed ourselves in this way. We may never have said, I hate God. But our actions and our thoughts showed this. We were born in sin. We were born dead in sins and trespasses. This was the condition we were born in, all of us. And if you're not a Christian here this morning, if you're not born again, then you are still in the condition in which you were born. You are still in your sin. You're dead in sins and trespasses. You're under the condemnation of God. You're under the judgment of God. This is how we were born. The whole world, every human being on this earth, this is what we were like. And God, in grace and mercy, could have turned his back on us. God could have left us to our sin. God could have abandoned us. We wouldn't have complained. We couldn't have complained. There is no injustice in that. If God had said, the human race has rebelled, and the human race has fallen into sin, and the human race has gone into all manner of sin, and I'm going to abandon it. If God had done that, we could never have complained of injustice. That would have been justice. And God is just, but God is also gracious. Grace is what fills the heart of God. Grace is what determines all the actions of God. All of God's works spring from grace. They're all from this foundation of grace, and they're all covered in grace, and they all come with grace. Grace is what defines God. God is gracious. God doesn't deal with people according to their sins. Praise God for that. God doesn't abandon sinners. God doesn't leave sinners to themselves. And God doesn't say to people, well, you've gone into sin, you've gone into rebellion, you've chosen your way, and off you go in your own way. I'm going to have nothing to do with that. That is not what God is like. God is gracious. And God in grace has sent his Son into this world. We are today marking, celebrating, and remembering the grace of God. As you partake of the bread and the cup, give thanks in your heart to a gracious God. Give thanks in your heart to God who loved you while you were yet a sinner. We had a text from Romans chapter 5, and Mike put it up, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for the ungodly. Isn't that wonderful? He didn't look at this world and say, do you deserve my son? Well, if he'd asked that question, the answer would have been an overwhelming, no, we don't. Do we deserve the salvation of God? No, we don't. Have we done anything to merit that God should be kind to us? No, we haven't. We've turned our backs on him. We've rebelled. We've gone into sin. God is gracious. Praise God for that. As we come round the table, we are remembering the grace of God. The grace of God displayed in the giving of his Son. We are celebrating, we're remembering Jesus Christ who came to this earth as a grace gift from God. So that is the first thing we're remembering this morning, the grace of God. The second thing that we remember this morning is, of course, the sacrifice of Christ. The sacrifice of Christ. This passage that we've read, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had broken it, he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You see, this is a statement of his sacrifice, of his death. We are remembering specifically the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. We are remembering that Jesus Christ went to that cross. We are remembering that he was nailed to that cross. We're remembering that when he hung upon that cross, God the Father took the sins of his people, this enormous volume, it's unimaginable, but this enormous burden, the Father took the sins of his people and laid that sin upon his Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross bore our sins upon his own body. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He who had never known separation from the Father, who had only known the love of the Father and the fellowship of the Father and communion with the Father and joy in the presence of the Father, was separated from the Father, and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because our sins were laid upon him. And God the Father punished his own Son in our place. The cross was a place of punishment. It was invented by the Romans as a place of punishment. And it was a place of punishment for certain specific criminals, particularly those who were rebellious, because they wanted to make an example of it, you see. So if a group of people rebelled against Roman rule, and they formed a little army and they said, right, we're going to take up arms and we're going to break away from Roman rule. We'll kill the local soldiers who are in our city ruling over us. And this used to happen. Rebellions happened throughout the Roman Empire. And the Romans invented this method, this cruel method of death. And they say, we want to show people that if you rebel against us, you suffer the worst kind of death, the cross. And on that cross, Christ died. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Our sins, our rebellion was laid upon him. And God the Father punished him. God the Father exacted from him the penalty that was due from us. Our sins must be penalized. There must be a penalty paid. If a penalty is not paid, there is no forgiveness. You cannot have forgiveness without the payment of a penalty. That is God's law. And God will never go against his law. God will never say to a person, well, I know you've sinned, but actually you live a decent life. You try your best. Yes, there are problems in your behavior. Yes, there are problems in your words. But you actually overall are a decent person, so I'll let you off. That doesn't happen. That's injustice. Every sin must be punished and must be punished to the full. And I say this to you. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never received him as your Lord and Savior, you've never actually trusted in him, your sins are still upon you and you will be punished for your sins. The justice of God demands it. There is a place called hell and it is a place of punishment. And those who've never trusted in the Lord Jesus will face the justice that their sins deserve. But Christ on the cross of Calvary took our sins upon himself. And Christ on the cross of Calvary paid the penalty for our sins. And Christ on the cross of Calvary shed his own blood that we might be redeemed from slavery to sin, that we might be set free from this slavery that holds us. And Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary that we might be cleansed from our sins, that we should no longer be unclean and unable to approach God, but that we would be cleansed in his blood. It is only his blood that can cleanse us. The blood of bulls and goats will never take away sins. The waters of baptism will never cleanse us. No good works will ever cleanse us. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse us from our sins. And as Christ hung upon that cross, the anger of God, the wrath of God was poured out upon him. And he bore the anger of God and he took it all upon himself. The New Testament uses the word propitiation, and it means to remove the anger of God. And all of God's anger that was due upon his people has been poured out upon the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. So as we gather around the table this morning, we give thanks to God for his grace in sending his Son. We give thanks to God for the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the Lord Jesus for his death. We thank him for his body upon which he bore our iniquity. We thank him for his blood which has cleansed us. We thank him for his death which has brought us forgiveness, salvation, freedom, and a place in heaven. It is in Christ alone Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith in Him? Have you received Him as your Savior? Do you trust Him alone for your salvation? Or are you still saying to yourself, I'm a decent person, I'm a good person, I'm a religious person, and that'll get me into heaven? Well, it won't. It never will. Only Christ. Christ alone saves. Christ alone forgives. Christ alone cleanses. Christ alone takes us to heaven. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary alone deals with our sins. It is only at the cross that our sins are dealt with. So we celebrate, or we remember this morning, the grace of God in sending His Son. We remember this morning the sacrifice of Christ. And then thirdly and finally, we remember this morning the blessings of God. Those who died in the wars for us did so that we might benefit. I imagine a 20-year-old young man getting into an aeroplane, a Spitfire. And I wonder if he thought to himself, why am I doing this? And if he did, he would say to himself, well, I'm doing this for my country. I'm doing this so that my countrymen may know liberty, so that they wouldn't be under Hitler, they wouldn't be under an enemy, but that they would be free. There will be benefit to my people if I go into this Spitfire and fight for my country. And the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ brings benefits. I've already mentioned them, but it brings great, great benefits to us. This is why we meet around the Lord's table. And this is why we remember His death. It's because blessing upon blessing has come upon us. All our sins have been forgiven. I cannot emphasize this enough. Because when I do my pastoral visitation, and please, we're all the same. I'm not blaming anybody here. But I do find this. People still struggle with this. Are my sins really gone? Have my sins really been dealt with? Is it the case that when I stand before God in judgment, He will pull out a piece of paper and say, you did certain things, and I was very displeased with them, and there they are, they're still there in my record. Will the Lord mention my sins? Will He bring them up? And I say to you, there isn't a single sin of yours that is left in His record book. Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for every one of your sins, past, present, future. They are all gone. Christ has paid the penalty. God will never deal with you according to your sins. If God deals with you according to your sins, He is unjust. Because it means He punished His Son for your sins, and then He punishes you for your sins. That is unjust. He has punished His Son. He has extracted from His Son a full payment. His Son has made a total payment, a complete payment, a full payment for all your sins. When Jesus said, "It is finished," He meant everything that I wanted to do on behalf of my people. Everything that I wanted to do to satisfy my Father, everything I wanted to do to fulfill the law of God has now been done. It is finished. When the devil comes to you and reminds you of your sins and says to you what a terrible person you are, say to yourself, but that sin is gone. It is no longer there. Christ has paid the penalty. He has removed it. His blood has dealt with it. It is gone. You are no longer in your sin. If you're a Christian here this morning, you are a forgiven person. Enjoy your salvation. Enjoy your forgiveness. Enjoy your walk with God. Don't be ridden with guilt. You have no guilt. And we are cleansed, we are accepted, we are adopted, we are brought into the family of God. We are today the beloved children of God. We are members of His kingdom. All these blessings that God in Christ has granted to us through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Complete cleansing. And He hasn't just left us to ourselves. He has brought us into His kingdom. He has made us His beloved children. He has adopted us. He has given us the Holy Spirit. He is at work in us, transforming us into the image of His Son. He has reserved a place for us in heaven. If you're a born-again Christian today, there is a place in heaven with your name on it, and you will occupy that place. I guarantee it, because Jesus guarantees it. So you see, this morning as we gather around the table, it is Remembrance Sunday, and for us it is this special Remembrance Sunday. We remember the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. God in grace giving His Son. Christ in grace going to that cross, taking our sins upon Himself, dying for us. And God in grace then giving us blessing upon blessing upon blessing that His Son has secured for us by His death. Praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for His death on the cross. Praise God for our salvation, so full and so free. Praise God for His grace.